Judges chapter 16, if you will, please follow along as I read this chapter. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gates of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs, that were never dried, then shall I be weak, and be as other and another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs, as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that were never occupied, then shall I be weak, and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes, and bound him therewith, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait, abiding in the chamber. And he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep, and went away with the pin of the beam, and with the web. And she said unto him, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. And if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak, and be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. And it came to pass, when their hearts were merry, that they said, call for Samson, that he may make us sport. And they called for Samson out of the prison house, and he made them sport, and they set him between the pillars. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by the hand, "Suffer me that I may feel the pillars whereupon the house standeth, that I may lean upon them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. O God, that I may at once be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. After 2 weeks of observing Samson's great accomplishments, we come now to observe his fall. After 2 weeks of observing God's great grace and mighty works through the life and ministry of Samson, we come now to see that Samson is a man of like passions. To read or hear of a faithful servant of God who ruins his testimony is a painful and perplexing experience for other believers. Those who have been helped and encouraged in the past by the faithful testimony of someone who becomes discouraged in the present by the sloppy testimony of that same someone begins to ask questions. Questions such as, how could something like this happen? Why did he give in to such foolishness when he was fully aware of the consequences? When did his downfall start? Many times the answers to these questions are never known fully by the majority when there is a great moral failing in a spiritual leader that we are familiar with. The majority many times only knows the obvious. There was a great problem, and now the consequences are tragic. Reading the account of Samson's fall, we have specific details that provide us more insight on the actions that led to his falling into sin. The falling into sin that tarnished the name of God. The falling into sin that weakened his usefulness for the Lord. It is important for us to remember, as we look at this account together tonight, it's important for us to remember why the Holy Spirit has recorded Samson's fall. God, in his infinite wisdom, records the sinful ways of men of faith in the Bible, not so that we might harshly reprimand them, but that we might honestly review our life. We need to start here. This was given to us by God. The Spirit of God, in his infinite wisdom, chose to record this in the Scripture, not so that we might pick up a stone and hurl it at Samson, but rather so that we might pick up a mirror and examine ourselves. God records the failing of men in the Bible to serve as a warning sign to us so that we don't fall off the cliff. With that said, it is my prayer that we study Samson's fall with an attitude of humility. It's my prayer that we study his final days with a spirit of self-examination rather than a spirit of condemnation. It is my prayer that we would seek to learn from Samson rather than lash out against him. So we begin by considering Samson's shameful fall. Samson's shameful fall. And we do ask the questions. What caused the deliverer of Israel to be defeated by the Philistines? How did this man of faith who experienced the great miracles of God become a man of compromise who experienced the great discipline of God? Well, the Bible tells us by pointing out Samson's lustful ways. Notice it in verses 1 through 4, Samson's lustful ways. We end chapter 15 by looking at Samson's accomplishments. He is really on the mountain of victory. God has used Samson to take down a great host of the Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey. Single-handedly, when the men of Judah turned their back on Samson, when his own brothers in his nation said, "Samson, we are here to turn you over to our enemies," Samson trusted God and defeated the Philistines as he leaned on the Lord. He is on the mountaintop experiencing the blessings of God, seeing the great miracle of God providing water in a barren place. After defeating the Philistines, God provides, Jehovah Jireh gives him water so that his soul might be refreshed. This is nothing more but the miracle of God. And then as we turn the corner in chapter 16, after reading that Samson judged the Israel in those days for 20 years, we immediately read in verse 16, or verse 1 of chapter 16, "Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went into her." He's on the mountaintop of victory, and just like that, in a moment, he's in the valley of sin. Or we could say he was on the mountain of victory, and just like that, he's in the pit of sin. What led him to here, to this place? His lust. He lusted after an harlot. Now notice the contrast between this incident and Judges chapter 14. You remember the woman of Timnath. With the woman in Timnath, we read that he told his father and mother about that woman and asked them to get her for them. And his motive was to use the woman in Timnath to get at the Philistines. You remember verse 4 of chapter 14. His father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. His main motive, his main purpose in chapter 14 with seeking a relationship with the woman in Timnath, from what we read of, the Spirit telling us, was not an immoral relationship. It was to seek an occasion to get at the Philistines. Remember, the Philistines were foxes. They were evil men. They were tricksters. And so Samson is using the ways of the Philistines to get at the Philistines. He is using trickery. He is trying to one-up them and play their own game and destroy them. But regarding the harlot, the Bible says that Samson went in unto her. The Lord was not in this. We see his intentions at this point in chapter 16 were completely impure and ungodly. Samson knew that this was contrary to God's will. He knew the law clearly said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." He knew it was God's will that people should be sexually pure. He knew that God thought of harlots, of what God thought of harlots, and he knew the spiritual snares that came to men because of harlots. Samson knew specifically that God had called him to a life of purity and holiness so that he might be a righteous testimony to Israel. Yet, knowing all this, Samson willfully chose to sin against God. The lust of his eyes led to the harlot. The lust of his eyes, notice, also led to Delilah. Verse 4. He goes from this harlot to escaping the Philistines, to verse 4, after a short while it came to pass that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. What did he love about her? Well, we already know the account. We read it. It could not be that he loved her for her spirituality. We don't find any. We do not see Samson loving Delilah because she is of a sweet and gentle spirit. We don't see that either. Samson must have loved her for her outward beauty. He must have loved her for what she could provide for him physically. Many marital relationships in our world today are based upon lust and not love. And people may call what they have love, but truly it is only centered around lust. And it's not always sexual. And many times it is material lust. There are those who marry who think, well, that person's a hard worker and they have a high-paying job. And if I marry them, I can live in a nice house, drive a nice car, and I won't have to worry about living in poverty. So they marry, but they marry for the wrong reasons. So the first step in this downfall is Samson's lust. The Bible says that we need to be aware of the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, because these things will take us down. They will destroy us. All that is in the world is the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Samson is bitten by this dragon of lust. And he is poisoned. He tries to walk in faith, but the poison continues to his heart. And this leads to his senseless ways. So we see in verses 1 through 4, Samson's lustful ways. And then verses 5 through 20, Samson's senseless ways. The lords of the Philistines come and entice this woman to reveal the source of Samson's strength. They come to this woman and offer her a fortune if she can tell them the correct answer so that he might be destroyed. Does this sound familiar? Somebody enticing a woman to get at Samson. Did we not read this? No, we read this with the woman at Timnath. And Samson playing that game and Samson being victorious over that game. So Samson plays the game again in a sense, thinking himself to be wise in his own eyes. I can handle this. But we see, not this time. This woman is also lusting. She's lusting after money. She's not truly committed in love towards Samson. No, her heart is set upon riches, the things of this life. She does not love him. She is not sacrificing for him. She is set on deceiving Samson and turning him over to his enemies. She is one with the Philistines, and Samson is blind to it. And so we see in verses 5 through 20 this cat and mouse game played with Samson and Delilah. Verses 6 and following. And Delilah says, Samson, tell me where your great strength lieth. How can you take down the Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey? How can you be so strong to lift up the iron gates? What is your secret? She asks, Samson lies. She asks, Samson lies. She asks, Samson lies. Samson thought Delilah's enticements were a fun game. He did not take the sin seriously. The Bible also says, thou shalt not lie. Why does Samson continue with Delilah when Delilah continues to betray him? We have to scratch our heads here. What is he doing?
He is very clearly seeing that she is not on his side. She is on the side of the Philistines. Now, to give him the benefit of the doubt, perhaps, we don't know because we're not given all the minute details, perhaps he thought that this would be a way to get at the Philistines. Like he went to the women at Timnath and was seeking occasion against the Philistines. So he's going to try it with a harlot. He's going to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And he's going to play this little game with her so that he might get at the Philistines once again. But we know the account. It ends up tragic. And Samson is taken down by the words of this woman. What happened? Well, we see here that sin makes people do the most irrational things. Why would Samson play this game with this woman so that he might be caught? Sin makes people lose the ability to reason. Have you seen this before? People who give a little leeway to sin here, a little leeway to sin here, a little leeway to sin there. And now they've got their full head under the water of sin. And they just act so dumb. They don't have any sense at all. Well, the Bible tells us in Proverbs, there is the one who dwells in the house of wisdom, there's one who dwells in the house of foolishness. The one who walks uprightly is the one who's going to be wise in their ways. And the one who walks in disobedience to God is going to be the one who stumbles and falls and hurts himself. Sin makes people ignore and forget the ways of God. And that's exactly what we see here in Samson's life. Delilah presses Samson daily with her words. She urges him to tell where his strength lies, and he eventually tells her all his heart. He witnessed that she could not be trusted. The Philistines be upon you, Samson. They come out. Philistines be upon you. They come out. The Philistines be upon you. Come out. And then what happened? The Philistines be upon you, Samson. Now you're caught. Samson gave in to her request because he foolishly thought that the Lord would help him even though he is living in disobedience. I want you to notice that here in verse 20. And he said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. Now his hair is caught. He has told her all his heart. A razor has never come on his head. This is his secret. He's a Nazarite unto God from his mother's womb. If he is shaven, his strength will go from him. And it is so. Verse 20. He awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other time before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He must have convinced himself that he was safe from the chastisement of God because he was separated unto God from his mother's womb. Samson said, well, I grew up in a Christian home. I'm okay. I'm an Israelite. I'm okay. I'm a judge in Israel. I've judged for all these years. I'm okay. There's no possible way that God would abandon me. And this foolish justification led to his ruin. And I can tell you that this foolish justification is the justification of many Christians. Many Christians hold on to past associations, past positions, past accomplishments. And they give in to sin. It appears that God is going to allow them to get away with their sins. But in an instant, the Lord's blessing and Lord's power departs. They foolishly presume that because they did all this in the past, that they are safe from the present. And we see that there's a fall and God takes his hand of blessing off. and the hand of discipline comes on. Like Samson, many Christians think that they can manage lust. They can manage hanging out with ungodly company. They think they can safely leave their sins whenever they want. They think that they can safely conduct themselves as a hypocrite without any punishment. Like Samson, those who stray from God soon find out that such presumption is one of the most effective tactics of the devil. Can we look around the pews tonight and think about those who were once here worshiping with us, serving the Lord faithfully, who are now headlong in sin? We can. What led to it? Well, several different things for different people. But many times it's the presumption. I'm strong enough to handle this. I'm wise enough to play this game and win. That sin isn't so serious. I'm in Christ. I'm not losing my salvation. I can always confess and forsake later. And just like that, down goes the Christian. Samson's lustful ways led to Samson's senseless ways. Then we see Samson's humiliating chastisement. Verse 21, the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. They gouged his eyes out. He became blind. They brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Samson goes to a man of faith, Hebrews chapter 11, a faithful deliverer in Israel, to one who is without eyes and locked in a prison house. Interesting enough, the eyes that lusted were the eyes that were lost, teaching us that those who play with fire will be burned by fire. Jesus said, if thine eye offend thee, do what? Pluck it out and cast it from thee. And giving a spiritual picture, not literally that you would do that, but he says, if you're lusting with your eyes, get rid of that which is causing you to lust. Samson immediately should have distanced himself from the harlot when he first saw her. Pluck it out. Get rid of it. Walk the other way. Leave town. Avoid it. Pass by it. Go not before it. But he didn't. He gave way to it. And we see here that we better pluck out our eyes before they get plucked from us. Some may think that Samson's punishment is a bit harsh from God. Why would God cause the Philistines to take Samson and to pluck out his eyes? Oh, the pain. Why would God do that? Well, Samson had been warned. He knew the law. And it's the truth and principle of Scripture that those who know more are more accountable. Interesting, the punishments towards Israel were more harsh after the giving of the law. Oh, they doubted and questioned God before the law came. But after the giving of the law, the punishments were much more severe. Why? How is this? They knew there was no excuse. Samson had been warned. He knew the law. He had been taught the word of God from his God-fearing parents. And the name of God was now being discredited. Notice it in verse 23. The lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto their God and to rejoice. For they said, our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand. Verse 24. And when the people saw him, they praised their God, their false God. And they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. What was happening? The message of the gospel was being discredited. Samson's foolish and sinful actions were causing the enemies of God to blaspheme. This is very serious. Now, God was merciful and kept Samson alive. We do read of those in the first century church keeping back part of the price, lying to the Holy Spirit, and immediately dying. Uzzah touching the ark, immediately dropping dead. So it was God's mercy that kept him alive. God still, in his mercy, was going to use Samson. But let me give an application here. There are applications as we look at the life, the downfall of Samson. And the main application that we need to understand from this passage is this. Are you with me still? No one is exempt from falling headlong into sin. Samson is a great man of faith. Hebrews 11, right there, the hall of faith. Samson's name is recorded. Samson judged Israel. And he fell. David, a man after God's own heart, was doing the will of God, being used mightily. And he looked at Bathsheba, committed adultery with her, killed her husband, and fell. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, who accomplished much for the Lord, fell. Mature Christians are not exempt from falling. Ordained pastors are not exempt from falling. No deacons are exempt. No Sunday school teachers are exempt. No one is exempt from falling into sin. We are all susceptible to falling headlong into the greatest sinfulness if we're not careful. The best of men are men at best. Remember that. In this, we need to remember the words of John Owen. John Owen says, "Be killing sin, or sin will be killing you." We see that in the life of Samson. He wasn't fighting ferociously his sin. And his sin ended up killing him. And this is the doctrine of mortification and vivification. The Bible says to put off the old man and to put on the new man. To die to that which rises up in our hearts, those lusts, thoughts of covetousness, idolatry, hatred. We must put those to death, and we must give way to calling to remembrance that which is holy and pure and good and true. And we do this by renewing our mind with the Scriptures, washing our mind with the water of the Word. We do this also by being honest and transparent with God. God knows our hearts, but we are they who often justify ourselves before God. But God knows our hearts. So we need to be honest and transparent before the Lord. And then we need to pray for help. Lord, I'm weak. Lord, this is a leech. It's on my heart. It's going to suck away the spiritual blessings from my life. Help me, Lord. And then the diligent resisting, resisting, resisting. We need to be passionate in saying no to sin. Remember Joseph, Potiphar's wife, coming daily towards Joseph. Joseph, come lie with me. Joseph, come lie with me. Joseph, come lie with me. Samson finally gave in to this woman nagging. Come, come, come. Sins like that. Come, come. Come, come enjoy, come look. There's no price tag. Come, come. And we need to say no, no, no. We need to flee like Joseph did and say, how can I sin and do this great wickedness before God? We need to keep our hearts with all diligence, diligence. It's a work. It's a battle. If we're passive, we're going to die in the spiritual fight. Diligence, it's a fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. These are working words. We need to work at our Christian life. We can't sit still. We need to be watchful against Satan's three-hook fishing lure. Some fishing lures have three hooks. Did you know that? Satan has a three-hook fishing lure that he uses to bait. Lust, pride, and ungodly associations. That's what he used in Samson's life. Lust, pride, ungodly associations. Lust, there's the harlot. Pride, Samson thought he was too strong to fall. He was a judge. He was a Nazarite. He's been used of God in the past. He had a position. And then the ungodly associations with Delilah. And Delilah, who was associated with the Philistines, led to his downfall. We be sure your sin will find you out. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall all of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The Bible says also, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Samson's tragic fall. How sad. But we end on a good note. Look at verses 25 through 31. We have Samson's solemn finale. Though the just man falls seven times, he gets up again. Samson's eyes are plucked out. He's in the prison house. The Philistines are sporting. They're making fun of Samson. And they're blaspheming the name of God Most High. And so Samson has an idea. He sees that there are thousands upon the roof of this place that he is standing next to. And he has the idea if he will lean upon the pillars, he can take them all out. So Samson, verse 28, calls unto the Lord and says, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, one of the one with his right hand and of the other with his left. Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord's, and upon all the people that were therein, so the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. What do we see here? Samson knew he was foolish. He was convicted. Notice what Samson did not ask. He did not ask to be restored to the ministry. Samson knew that God put him on the shelf. And God can replace anyone. Samson does not make excuses for his sin. He owns it. And Samson is willing to die if it means that God's name be vindicated. So Samson prays. And what happened? God hears his prayer. So we see a restoration in that. God's death to those who are living in sin. Yes, Samson fell. Well, here's a prayer of confession and forsaking. And God hears his prayer. And God allows Samson to end his life in an honorable way. And we have the Spirit's honest reminder given to us in verse 30. That the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. And Samson was trying to relieve the nation of Israel from the oppression of the Philistines. And in the last moment of his life, he's victorious in that way. Verse 31 of chapter 16, and the chapter ends by saying he judged Israel 20 years. I think the Holy Spirit puts that note there for us to remember. This was only a season in Samson's life. This wasn't the totality. He wasn't seeking after harlots his whole life. This was only a season. And though this was a dark season overall, he was still used by the Lord. And we have a great lesson that we're going to conclude with here. And the lesson is this. God can still use us after we have fallen into sin. God used Samson in the final moments of his life. God can still use us when we sin and sin bad. But we need to confess. We need to acknowledge our sinfulness before the Lord and ask God for his mercy and be restored unto him. Now, in some positions, such as the pastorate and others, once a man falls and sins, he's ruined his testimony in various ways. There's no restoration back to the ministry, depending on the sin. But God restored Samson in this way and defeated the Philistines. And I quote the words of the Prince of Preachers, Charles Spurgeon. He says, quote, "The Old Testament biographies were never written for our imitation, but they were written for our instruction. Upon this one matter, what a volume of force there is in such lessons. See, says God, what faith can do. Here is a man full of infirmities, a sorry fool, yet through his childlike faith he lives. The just shall live by faith. He has many sad flaws and failings, but his heart is right towards his God. He does trust in the Lord, and he does give himself up as a man consecrated to the Lord's service, and therefore he is saved. I look upon Samson's case as a great wonder, put in Scripture for the encouragement of great sinners." The devil may tempt us. Well, we fall headlong into sin. You might as well just stay there. Just stay in your sinfulness. Just keep covering it up. And that's a lie from the devil. That won't help us in our relationship with the Lord. What we need to do is turn from that sin and get right back with God. Now, things may not be the same in the relationships that we had, the life that we once lived, and things may be cut off in various ways, but in our relationship with God, which is the most important thing on earth, we can be restored and we can seek to move forward. The Bible says in Psalm 37, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Aren't you thankful for this promise? Okay, so we might pride ourselves. Well, we haven't fallen like Samson. We haven't done such a great sin to go into a harlot, but we do sin still. In thought, in word, in deed, we disobey the commandments of the Lord. We grow lax in our fervency of worship. That's a sin. God can still use us. We turn to Him and beg for mercy, just like Jonah. Turning his back on the Lord, pursuing his own will, God humbling Jonah, and then Jonah getting back up and pursuing the will of God once again. David, lusting, murdering, confessing, repenting, and striving to do better. Peter, denying, weeping, preaching again. What a merciful God we serve. There's warning in the downfall of Samson, Samson's dishonorable fall. Many lessons for us to learn. But there is an honorable finale. He was a man of faith, and he was used in the final moments of his life. And so let us learn from his life and ministry. We'll pray. Father, thank you for the Scriptures. There are so many warning signs given to us, and they are given to us for our help. Lord, I pray that we would take heed to these warning signs lest we fall. And we're often tempted to think of other men and their problems and where they can be helped. Lord, help us to honestly bow our hearts before you tonight and ask, Lord, how can we walk before you in a way that is holy? Keep us from sin, O Lord. Give us victory over temptation. We confess that in our flesh we are weak, but you are strong. Strengthen us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Help us every day to do what is right for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.